Hello and welcome back to the 10th anniversary celebration event for PowerShell. It's good to have you with us. Matt and Keith still here, working you through all of the different sessions we've got throughout the day. If you've missed some already, don't worry. They'll all be available on demand on channel9.msdn.com in the coming days. If you want to get in touch with us, if you want to ask a question, and we've got some queued up that we'll get to very shortly, you can find on the Channel 9 homepage a route through to ask your questions to us, and we'll get as many as we can answered and make them as difficult as possible, please, so we can put Keith on the spot as much as we can. So what is next on the agenda, Keith?
Okay, so next, inside the PowerShell program management team, one of my friends and coworkers is Zach Alexander, and he's really the guy that he's our go-to guy for games, and he spent some time and figured out on his own how to provision a Minecraft server using PowerShell DSC. And so we're going to go ahead and show you that, and we'll come back and talk to Zach when this video is over.
Awesome.
Hey, my name's Zach Alexander, and I'm a PM on the PowerShell team here at Microsoft. Today, I'm going to be talking about deploying a Minecraft server to Azure using DSC. If you have any questions, you can find me on Twitter at @msftzackle. So, Minecraft is a video game. It allows you to play in a world where you can create things, destroy things, and get blown up by monsters. It's pretty fun, but the most fun is playing with friends. You can do this by setting up a server, and your friends log on to that server, and you share a game together. It's really cool, but it does require a bit of work to get set up. In particular, you're going to have to install Java, configure firewalls, accept EULAs, and mess around with a bunch of text files to make sure your server is configured properly. On top of all that, you also have to make sure that your Java process is always up and running. The official way to do this is by using a .bat script that you run every time you want to start your Minecraft server. So that's a little tedious. There's got to be a better way. With Azure, you get a lot of benefits from hosting a VM in the cloud instead of running a server off your basement. For starters, it's a lot more reliable to have a VM up in the cloud. You don't need to worry about someone kicking the power cord out from your machine. You can also give it a public DNS name very easily, so your friends can type in a friendly URL to get to your server instead of having to remember an IP address. And you also get security rules built into Azure, so you don't have to worry about someone compromising your home network by getting in through your Minecraft machine. Azure has this concept called Resource Manager Templates. Those are used to make deployment and redeployment really easy. So all the stuff I'm about to show you, it's really easy for you to go out and redeploy it in your own environments and set up your own servers. Azure Resource Manager is essentially, the templates are just JSON files which describe a Azure environment. And that's all well and good for setting up the environment, but we still need to install Java and get Minecraft on the box and set up all those firewalls. So the answer to that is using DSC. DSC stands for Desired State Configuration. It's a feature we added in PowerShell in version 4. We've continued improving it through version 5. And it allows you to configure machines quickly and easily by handing off a configuration document that says, this is the state I want my machine to end up in. It also happens to hook into Azure via the DSC extension handler in Azure, so it's very easy to take an Azure VM and give it a DSC configuration to get it configured the way you want. How easy is it? Well, let's take a look. This is my GitHub page. You can see zjalexander/azureminecraft. I've forked this from work that David Coulter did. He spent a lot of time making sure that this got up and running, and I just made a few changes to support Windows Server 2016. There's a bunch of files here, but we'll go over them in more detail later. For now, I'm actually just going to start this deployment by clicking Deploy to Azure. You can see we've opened up a new tab here. Let it load for a little bit. You can see here that we've created a custom template. This is the JSON file that's defined in GitHub. And we're going to create a new resource group. this is going to be like a folder for storing all of our related things. So I'm going to use Minecraft Demo 3 because I've done this a couple times before. We can choose what the size of VM we want to get from Azure. And then over here are a bunch of Minecraft related settings. So I'm not going to go through these one by one, but it's important to realize that all these settings, the values I give them, will be stored and passed through the various stages of our deployment. So just keep in mind that this is here and this is where these values come from. The most important one is the EULA. You need to accept the end user license agreement in order to be able to run a Minecraft server. I have that set to true. I also need to create a new storage account, an admin name. This is for the VM itself. And a DNS name so that other people can find my server. We'll call it Minecraft Demo 3. Windows OS, we're going to use Server 2016 Data Center Edition. We have to agree to the terms and conditions. And then by clicking the purchase button, we're going to tell Azure to go ahead and allocate us that storage space, the VMs, all that. You can see here my deployment started. I'm going to click on the alert. And this is going to show us all the various stages that our VM is going to go through, or our entire deployment, actually. You can see here we've started creating some of it. It'll take a little bit to create everything. So while we're doing that, we're going to flip back and talk about what's actually happening from the Azure side of things. So we handed Azure a Azure Resource Manager template, which is again that JSON file, and it's going to say, give me a VM, a network, a public DNS name, and a host of other things. It'll also say the VM should run this specific DSC configuration. If we pull up that JSON file, singleserver.json, you can see here are the parameters that we've passed in. VM size, EULA, and all those other Minecraft properties that we passed in. This JSON defines what parameters we're going to take as input, and then those parameters get stored and passed on through our deployment. I'm going to scroll past all the variables, although right here, DSC zip, this is really important. This is going to say, also on my GitHub repo in Azure Minecraft, we're going to download this DSC single server ps1.zip. That's going to contain a whole bunch of information that we need to continue. In the resources section of our template, you can see we're getting a network security group, we're getting storage accounts, public IP addresses, virtual networks, and so on. Down here is the virtual machine, which is the most important part. You can see it has a bunch of properties, and these are going to call back to the various things that we've already set up above. But this VM has a resource, and it's called Microsoft PowerShell DSC. That's the extension we're going to use to run DSC. This is published by Microsoft, and it takes a couple of settings. The first one is the modules URL. That's the zip file I pointed out earlier. We also have all of these Minecraft properties that we got from the JSON template up above. So we're going to take those templates and actually pass them into our DSC configuration. That DSC configuration basically explains how to set up Minecraft. We keep it in a zip file with all of its dependent modules, and we host it on GitHub. It's right there. We tell Azure, when we click that deploy button, here's the template I want you to use, grab these parameters, and start setting up these machines. And that template also says, download this DSC configuration and enact it. So what's happening from the VM side of things? Well, every VM in Azure has something called the Azure Extension Agent built in. The Azure Extension Agent is being told to run the DSC extension specifically. The DSC extension more or less just ensures the latest version of PowerShell is installed, so you can get all the best benefits of DSC. Then, the extension is going to download and extract that zip file, and that zip file is going to get extracted to locations allowing it to use the modules. And here's what that zip file actually looks like. This is the DSC single server ps1.zip that we're downloading. It contains our configuration. It contains X networking, which is a PowerShell module we're going to refer to in our configuration, And it includes this metadata.json, which we're not actually going to be using in this example. The DSC extension is going to be handed the parameters we collected from the JSON, and we're going to run the configuration with those parameters. Once we're done running the configuration, we're going to report back on status through the Azure Reporting API. All right, so what does DSC actually do? Well, let's go through the configuration that we're sending down. This is the dsc-singleserver.ps1 that's in the zip file. We take a bunch of parameters in because a DSC configuration is essentially just a special kind of PowerShell function. It has a name and it accepts parameters. Those parameters, EULA, server name, message of the day, all correspond with that first entry we made into the Azure UI where we tell it we accept the EULA and we are able to configure all the different parts of our server. Then, we're going to import the DSC resources. Resources are essentially the building blocks of configuration. Each resource has some specialized knowledge about how to configure something. In this case, we're going to be using the built-in PowerShell desired state configuration module, which understands files, packages, registry settings, all that, as well as X networking. X networking tells us how to configure firewall rules. DSC refers to nodes. Those are the machines that get managed. In this case, we're going to be running this directly on the VM, so we want the VM to manage itself, and that's going to be called localhost. Local Configuration Manager describes how DSC manages itself. The configuration mode says what DSC's behavior should be. Every 30 minutes, we're going to run apply, so we're going to try and apply our existing configuration to the machine. And we're going to autocorrect. If we see any problems in the machine, if the configuration of the machine has changed at all, we want to raise an event in the event log so you know something went wrong. But in this specific case, we also want to automatically correct it. We're going to be using this behavior to ensure that the Java installer or the Java process is always up and running, so people will always be able to be connected to our Minecraft server. These are some of the resources we're going to use to manage this machine. Windows Feature allows us to install parts of Windows. We're going to be making sure .NET 3.5 is present. You can see that right here. We're also using the script resource a lot here. Script resources are used when a resource doesn't already exist to do what you need to do. In this case, we're going to be using the set script in order to invoke a web request. Basically, download a file. This is going to be for the Java downloader. And then every time DSC runs, it's going to run this test script function to see if the downloader is already present on disk. If it's not present, it'll download it and make sure it has a folder to go into. The first time we run this, the test is going to fail. The Java installer is not present. Then we'll run the set script, which will create the folder if it doesn't exist and download the package from the Java website. Next, we're going to use the package resource. This is what we use to install stuff. We're going to install Java using the thing we just downloaded, and we pass in a bunch of arguments, including the product ID, so we know we're installing the right things. And we want to make sure that Java is, in fact, installed. There's some specific tweaks we have to do. We want to turn off auto update. If Java tries to update itself while our server is running, it's going to cause problems. So we're going to set the registry key Java uses to see if it should auto update or not. Next, we're just going to take care of our environment. We want to make sure that there's a file called, or that there's a folder called Minecraft that is present on our machine. And we want to make sure an environment and variable for Minecraft exists. Here's where we use xFirewall. This is going to create firewall rules to allow incoming connections. Here, you can see that we are going to allow inbound 25565 TCP ports. So that'll allow incoming connections to come into our Minecraft server, which we need if friends are going to join us. This is where we start setting the Minecraft-specific things. all these are essentially text files. We have eula.txt, server properties, and there's another file as well, ops.json. We need to write text content into there. So if you look at our set script, you can see we're just going to be using add content, which appends content, and we're going to be using that to make sure that the right properties we've passed in from our JSON configuration actually get written to those configuration files. We have a whole bunch of these, but if you scroll all the way down, you can see here's our actual Minecraft install. This is another script. It's going to download the Minecraft jar from the Minecraft server, which is hosted on AWS. Then we use Minecraft running, and this script will see if Minecraft's running, and if it's not, it's going to start Java using start process. We'll pass in a couple of arguments to make sure the Java virtual machine gets allocated enough memory. We're going to tell it to run the specific Minecraft server jar, and we're going to make sure it runs out of C Minecraft. The depends on makes sure that everything executes in order. In this case, we're going to say, don't try and run Minecraft until you know that it's installed. And in turn, Minecraft isn't going to try and install until we have all the prerequisites in place. We want to make sure Java is installed, we have a folder to put it in, and so on. So that's our DSC configuration, and that's what's going to get run on our local machine. Just to recap, we're going to download and install Java and the Minecraft binaries. We're going to set firewall rules to allow incoming configurations. And then we're going to change all those text files to meet the user's requirements, which is what you enter in when you're deploying this through Azure. Once everything else is done, we'll start Minecraft. So let's switch back and see if my deployment's done yet. I don't think it is, but that's okay. I have a backup plan. We'll just hit refresh here. And you can see it's not quite done yet. That's okay. Why don't we start up Minecraft? Here we go. Just make this a little bigger here. And we're going to go into multiplayer. You can see I already have an Azure Minecraft server set up. This is the one I set up earlier before I started recording this demo. It still goes to Azure. It's just going to minecraftdemo1.westus.cloudapp.azure. You can find out your public name by going back into Azure, clicking on resource groups, and finding the instance you deployed. In this case, I'm going to be going into resource groups, Minecraft Demo 1. This lists all the different things that we deployed, and we want to find our public IP address, which is right here. From here, we can see both our IP and our DNS name. We can copy that and paste it right into Minecraft. All right, let's play. And there we go. I have a Minecraft server that's up and running, and I'm free to explore my pretty little world. Whee! All right. Thanks for joining me. I hope you guys enjoy this, and I hope you take the opportunity to run your own at Minecraft servers in Azure. Uh-oh. I gotta run. See you later, guys.
So welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed that video from Zach. Since he's standing in our studio here, I really do have to ask the question, whatever would prompt you to devote your time to putting together a Minecraft server in PowerShell?
Well, first off, I just want to say it wasn't just me. Dave Coulter did a whole bunch of work, and also one of my friends at Channel 9, Amanda Lange, also helped me out a lot. So it was a group effort. There was a lot of collaboration there. But a game server is a lot like any other server. It requires a lot of upkeep and care, and there's a lot of specialized knowledge to get it started. But it's something that everyone wants to do. Everyone wants to be able to deploy a Minecraft server really quickly and easily. So by using PowerShell DSC, I figured you could take out all those manual steps that are such a huge pain, like making sure you have the right version of Java, making sure that you have the right values in all those text files, and all that stuff, and just automate it. So there's less chance for error. You just click it and go. So it was really cool to work with, and it was a really great chance to use my own product to do something that I cared about.
Well, I'm glad that you had fun with it. It's certainly something that I had a lot of fun watching because I got to see the video before anybody else. And again, thank you. I hope that you continue to keep this thing up to date. And by the way, this is posted on GitHub and is something that you guys are accepting contributions to?
I posted a link on my Twitter account to the exact GitHub repo. So if you just take a look at Zackl, or MSFT Zackl, you can see the link on Twitter. I don't know if Dave's accepting contributions right now, but definitely feel free to fork it and do what I did and make it yours.
Outstanding. And of course, you put hashtag PowerShell tenure on that, and so people will be able to find that. So what's coming up next is we're going to hear from some of the organizers and people who have put together the PowerShell conferences. Now, these are entirely community-sponsored events, and we'll talk about those in just a minute after this next commercial.